You don't want to drive through the city and all the lights are green, right? Green here and green there, right?
That's
some sort of direction or some sort of regulation. So you just have to have the right recipe for it. Because there's no way around rules. We live in a world where everybody...
There's man-made rules. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the great command is to love God and then love your neighbor. So we can't even love God. You know, I witnessed to thousands of people and everybody tells me they love God, but they're not keeping his commandments. You know what Jesus says? You're a liar. I'd be a liar. So the scriptures are clear. It's in the Word of God. It's not in the Orthodox faith. It's not in the Roman Catholic faith. It's in the scriptures. And the true New Testament body doesn't need those big ornate buildings. We don't need men in pulpits. We don't need that hierarchy.
What we need is a
local body has elders to oversee, but then all the men use their gifts and teach. That doesn't happen in the Orthodox faith.
I'd like to argue about that. Well, it depends on which.
I mean, there's different branches of it, but you look at the Orthodox is really, in many ways, Roman Catholic light, meaning they have so much like the Roman Catholics, but they're a little bit different.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question.
I would say there are, if you read enough about it, there are fundamental differences. Fundamental differences.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot of similarities.
So, like, if you look at the hierarchical structure, yes, I would say they're similar, if not identical.
That's left God's ordained way. So that's sin. Right. To leave that, to do those man-made ways, that's sin.
Okay, so that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But what I would say the fundamental differences are, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the fundamental differences?
The fundamental differences, I would say, is one is that Orthodoxy looks at the scripture itself and does not change. However the Bible was written, that's what we should follow. And the Catholics, they came up with something, the ever-evolving church.
Yep, the magisterium.
Follow men. Right, so what the reason they did that is because they wanted it to, different things.
Control men.
The Pope wanted to gain control.
Yep.
You know, at some
and they
point,
killed millions of people.
Right. Well, it's not Catholics that killed people. People killed people.
No. The Roman Catholic Church is responsible for millions of people being killed.
Oh, right. So, you know, so...
They directly acted.
But we have... The evil does not run along institutions. It runs along the hearts of men. So
that's true.
Corrupt man killed other men.
Yes.
It wasn't the church. Church cannot...
The church did ordain it.
Right. Well, yeah.
They burned people alive, Anton. They burned people alive.
But the church is not... You know, when you say the church, you're on the form of...
The Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. You assign... It's a form of an anthropomorphosis. The church cannot do anything. It's the people within the church that did it, you know?
I don't know, because, you know, you look at the Reformers. I don't defend the Reformers. John Calvin agreed with burning people alive and murdering them. He signed off on it and agreed
and
with it.
A man, right?
He's guilty, and then the authorities carried it out with him, so they're all guilty. Right, they're all complicit to murder.
But they're comprised of men. So my.
But they claim to be the body of Christ. That's why we call them out and say it's sinful.
So men can corrupt any message. You know,
yep.
That's true. That's within our ability, power.
But if the church ordains it and authorizes it, we have to call them out. They're responsible for it.
Right. So what happens is then you have men that have wrongful thinking. They have darkness, you know, like malevolence. So they have, once they gain power, what they do is they try to manifest that. They try to proliferate their malevolence. And what happens is blind people listen to them, who have just as much malevolence as their heart, in their heart, and they become the tool of that hatred.
Amen.
So, right. So what
workers
happens,
of the so, workers of Satan so, is what they ultimately
so,
are.
So what happens is, I don't deny that. I just, you know, I don't think they're good and bad people. I don't think they're good and bad institutions. I think we oscillate between both. And so I think man's heart is capable of that.
Oh, he is. That is, yeah.
Of that flux. And that's why we need to repent. And that's why I said I like your son. You know?
Yeah, yeah. But repentance to what? See, that's the thing. Repent means to change your mind, then change your ways. And if we change to Christ's ways, Jesus said there'll come a day when you won't worship in these buildings, in these temples. That's what's wrong with the Catholic,
right,
the Lutheran, the Orthodox faith.
Right,
they
right.
draw people to worship there. If you're born of God, You don't need that ornate structure anymore. In fact, it goes against what God said would be happening. So you don't need those things anymore.
Okay, so yeah, right. If
that makes
sense?
That
is if the structure is corrupt. But maybe the structure needs you. So it's not what you need.
Well,
it's also what, because look at what you're doing. You know,
you feel like
other people need you.
But
you
know? I obey God, and the Word of God says if there's people, like Romans 16:17, Apostle Paul, called by Jesus, handpicked by Jesus, taught by Jesus in Acts 9, and for 3 years in Arabia, Paul said, if those come and teach division by leaving sound doctrine, mark them and avoid them. So I don't believe you go in a corrupt system to work it through. You come out of it, repent of it, stand outside of it. And if you think the Orthodox faith has redeeming things and sinful things, you should stand outside of it and say, you need to repent, but I can't unite to you.
So,
this is how we draw people out according to God's word.
So there's a problem when you say, I don't want to address this issue because you say Orthodox faith, but we consider ourselves Christians. There's
yes.
no such thing as an Orthodox faith. It's just a...
It's called Orthodox, though,
well,
right?
We have to label it somehow.
What,
I mean,
what part of it are you united? There's so many different.
They're not very different. I'm part of the Eastern Orthodox.
Eastern Orthodox, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but you call yourself Orthodox. That's why I use it. See, I call myself a Christian.
Right, I mean, we navigate the world by labeling things. You know, this is a Ford van. When you go to the parts store, they're asking
but,
what it
okay,
is.
Okay, but hold on. In love, see, this is where if we follow the scriptures, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, people were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos. Paul says, is Christ divided? Right. See, those labels, see, this is what the world does. The world wants to spiritually label everything. We're to conform to Christ. That's why no man of God, no true man of God, should put some worldly label on himself, Lutheran, Baptist, Roman Catholic, Orthodox. He should say, I'm a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ.
I think the only reason the Orthodox was an Orthodox church is because there was a division. So if the only company in the world was Ford and they made vans, would you call it Ford van or would it just
but
be a van?
That's different. This is not spiritual.
No.
We're talking spiritual.
Right.
This is not spiritual.
But you're still talking. So you know, but it's the logos that helps us communicate,
right.
And it's not the logos.
But
that
keep it in context.
Spirit.
God doesn't care what vehicle I drive, but He cares if I add man-made names to His body.
So I'm just trying to clarify the way language operates, which is through God, because you wouldn't be able to speak right now if it wasn't for the logos, right?
Right.
So we are trying to communicate. So the only reason,
but we must do it biblically.
Right. So the only
not man's way.
Right. So the only reason there is an Orthodox church is because they're Catholic and because there are 3,000 more.
See, I just don't believe that. You don't need a name. And you don't need all those man-made traditions.
Right, and there wasn't going to be a name if there wasn't no division.
They don't need to use the name today. Why can't they say they're Christ followers?
Because they'll be just another label.
No, they won't. Because Christ followers is the ultimate label that God wants us to have. And you know how you'll be set apart? You'll never confuse me with the Orthodox faith when you know me. You'll never confuse me with the Roman Catholics,
but, you know,
because of what I preach.
I think that people think that there's something evil within the label. When the evil
is
when the evil lies within the human. I think people attribute they pay too much attention, and that's what creates division amongst Christians too.
Jesus came to divide. Matthew 10. He came to bring a sword to divide His own out. Did you know that?
Right.
We're not supposed to have unity with false teaching.
How do you decide? How do you decide who's His own are?
Through the Word of God, through His teachings.
No, but you meet somebody on the road, and you don't know anything about that person.
I preach the gospel to them.
No, but let's say you're in need.
Like I preached it to you.
Right, but you need something.
Do I need?
I mean, my truck broke down, and I need help. And then
okay, what do you need, sir? I'll help you. And then I help you.
No. It happened, you know? So, like, how do I know that person that helped me was from a demon or from a god or from a denomination? I think love is love. It doesn't matter.
Well,
you know, that person did it out of the love.
Love is love, but here's how we know. Jesus said you know a tree by its fruit, and part of our fruit is doctrine. So if that man who helped you goes on to tell you he's a Mormon, you can look at the Mormon faith, and if you know anything about it, you can see it's a corrupt, rotten tree.
Right. But
and so I would say that the Orthodox faith, the Roman Catholic faith, is also a corrupt tree that has left the truth of God. And Jesus says, if you leave and don't abide in His word, in John 15, He says, if you don't abide in My word, that means keep His word,
right,
you'd be cut off. And I believe many of these places are cut off spiritually. They're not of God. There's a small remnant, Anton, that you must be
so
part of.
So there's not even one person within the church?
No, and, I didn't say that.
People, so when people...
I'm talking about the system in general.
Right, the system. Okay, so a person if within that system, if he is not of God, he cannot be saved.
A person within that system, you know, let me explain to you. I say this to people all the time. They'll say, so you say no Roman Catholic will go to heaven. Never said that. Here's what I say. If you're in the Roman Catholic system, if you're in the Orthodox system, you must come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and faith in him, his shed blood, mm-hmm. his resurrection. You must come to a place of repentance where my heart wants to follow that Savior with all that he is and keep his word and his truth. If you're born again and you're in those systems, the Holy Spirit comes to teach, convict, and comfort. The Holy Spirit will not keep you in a man-made corrupt system like we've been talking about. He will draw you out, and over time, hold on, over time you will repent of it, you will leave it, and you will come out of it. And so people will be saved from all realms and all places, but if they're Christ's, they have to come out. You cannot live and dwell. If you told me you were practicing homosexual, I would tell you there's hope for you, but you have to repent and come out of it. If you stay in it, you're lost and you'll be judged by God. Same thing with false religion. You must repent and come out of it. If you were drunk, I tell you, you have to repent.
But you said false religion.
Yes.
So the religion is... Are you talking about when you say religion, like an entirely different religion? Are you using that term? Or are you using for denomination, a Christian denomination?
Yes, Christian. People always tell me that there's no such thing as religion, only relationship with Jesus. That's a lie. James 1 actually says pure religion. Pure religion, James 1 says, 127, says taking care of widows and orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. And we know from James, he was following Jesus, keeping Jesus' commands. So when I say corrupt religion... keeping of man-made traditions. Okay, let me give you an example. Orthodox Church, Christmas and Easter. God never ordained any of this. This is all made of man from the Roman Catholics.
Right, except the, you know, taking the, drinking the blood and eating the body.
He never ordained any of that.
I said, do that in my remembrance.
No. Now you're talking the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about Christmas and Easter as holiday, holy days. God never ordained those. Those are made of man. If you study it, I have articles on all this. If you study that, that's invented by the Roman Catholics.
So that's sinful?
Sure it is. To break from God's commands? Of course it's sinful.
Well, it wasn't by the Roman Catholics.
It was before Rome.
Roman Catholic.
Easter goes all the way back. Easter means Ishtar, pagan holiday.
Right, yep. Yeah, whatever.
Christmas.
Yeah. That's in English, of course.
Christmas was brought into by the Roman Catholics.
Right, but that's in English.
The evangelicals kept it. The Orthodox kept it. So, of course, what do you think sin is, Anton, when you go and do opposite of God's ordained ways? That's sin.
Mm. I have a different definition.
The Bible teaches that. 1 John 5:3 says the love of God is keeping his commandments.
No, I'm gonna go get the oil right now. No, it's okay. It's perfect.
You've been gracious. You got to go. So I challenge you, test yourself to that gospel. And if you really are of God and you want to seek God, you will begin to learn and you will come out of all false ways, which is the Orthodox faith. You will come out of it. Because if you stay in it, the Bible says if we keep willful sin, there's no sacrifice. You must repent and come out of all false ways. Here, this is key.
So I think the only difference between you and I, it's like I think we think pretty much the same, but I think the only difference between you and I is our definition of sin. So
sin is the transgression of God's law. That's exactly what the Bible says.
Right.
So God's law says don't do pagan ways. Christmas and Easter are pagan ways. God's law, Jesus said you want to be a servant? Lowly and serve. Don't set yourself up and dressed in ornate things like the Orthodox priests do.
Right.
But this is sin.
Okay, so that's the way...
I mean, that's the definition.
That's the way you interpret it, right? There's only one priest, by the way, to 1,000 people. So if one man goes to hell to save 1,000, I think we got...
There's no priest. Jesus is our high priest now, and the Bible says we're all priests now. We don't need a priest. We don't need a man priest anymore.
Right, so, you know,
That's against God's order.
That's also like a really a debatable issue.
It's clear in Scripture. If you study, I think.
Well, it's clear in like in the King James Scripture. But
what translation do you use?
I use the direct translation from Greek.
Okay.
When they translated,
what is the name of it?
Bulgarian. It's Slavonic. Slavonic.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. When they translated the Bible from Greek on the island of Patmos,
yeah.
One of the original languages, it was Latin, Greek, and Church Slavonic. And
yeah, Old Testament was Hebrew. Yeah, the New Testament was Greek. And I go back to the Greek words, and let me give you an example. It's really important that you look at the Greek words, because like the word church in King James, I agree with you. It's a bad translation. It points you to Orthodox, Evangelical, Catholic, because it says basically it's a religious organization of people. Look at the word in Greek. You know what the word church in Greek means? Ekklesia.
Yeah.
Called out ones. You're not called out as if you're with man-made religion. You're called out to Christ. Holiness means to be set apart. I would challenge you to go deeper in that, and I'm here to, my website's here to help you.
If you're going into, like, if you're going into semantics.
It's not semantics. It's what the word says.
Right, but also like democracy is like, or like aristocracy is.
Now you're switching to something non-spiritual.
No, it doesn't matter.
Sure, it does.
It's language. Is language spiritual?
Well, wait, what are you saying? I mean,
it's all language.
The language says that
it was a pagan language.
Sin.
The Greek language was a pagan language.
Sin is the transgression of God's law. In that language, it means the same thing as it means any other language.
Right, so Greek was a pagan language. If we talk about pagan languages, that's non-spiritual again. Greek is a non-spiritual
language. Why are we talking about that? It was written in Greek.
Right, and it's a pagan language.
But that's not spiritual.
All right, it's not spiritual, but you're using a pagan word from a pagan language to describe something that's
spiritual. We look at the meaning, and it means to be called out and set apart, not part of a false religious system.
But if you're saying that I'm saying non-spiritual, then what you're saying is also non-spiritual, because it's
taught in God's word, so it's spiritual. See, what I would lovingly say to you is what I hear, and I talk to thousands of people. What I hear from you is a man who speaks from intellect, but hold on. You cannot come to God by intellect. You must come by the Spirit. And by the Spirit, you will begin to see things and understand things that your intellect will never get you to. Intellect keeps you in the Orthodox faith. The Spirit will call you unto Christ. Let me know if I can ever...
I think you are onto something. Don't deny that.
Yes,
I don't
you must deny be born again.
I don't deny that.
You must be born again.
But I think there has to be a... Because you're trying to exercise logics and reason to arrive to a certain point, to convince me of something.
Spiritual understanding.
Because if you were only using the Spirit, we'll be somewhere in the seventh heaven right now, and you'll be showing me all the wonders.
Spiritual understanding in God's Word. It's very simple.
But what we're doing here is it's we're exercising the power of Logos, right? The Word. The Word that was,
Jesus was the Word.
Right. It was.
You must be born of Him.
Don't
go deeper than that. You must be born of Him. Until you get there, none of the rest of that stuff understands. Do you understand that your Orthodox leaders and the priests and the colleges, do you understand most of those men are not born of God?
Did
you hear that?
Born of God.
Did you hear that?
I understand.
Born of God, Jesus said in John 3, Nicodemus comes to Him and says, how do I gain eternal life? And He says, you must be born again.
But how is it? How are
I'm
you born again?
I'm explaining it to you. Yeah. Jesus said, you must be born again. And the man says, what, must I enter my mother's womb again? He was thinking like you or the Orthodox.
No, I'm not thinking like that.
He was thinking physical. And Jesus said, what is born of water, what was born is flesh, but is born of water and born of the Spirit. So what we understand
the baptism.
Baptism is a reflection of what God already does in us.
Okay.
So baptism is not born again. That's just it's like a marriage covenant. Is a sample of what we actually have.
That's not it.
But I'm explaining to you.
Okay.
It's when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you and gives you a new heart and a new mind and a new understanding of the Word of God. And Paul says in Romans 12 and in 2 Corinthians 5, you become a new creation. You're born by the Spirit. You're not born of the flesh of your mother or father.
Right. And how does that...
Told you in the gospel, when you're born of the Spirit of God.
But no one has been able to explain that
Jesus said, it's hard to explain. It's like the wind. It comes, you don't know where it's going, you can't see it.
So how do you know when you are born again?
How do you know when you're born again is you're enlightened to the truth of God's Word, and the Spirit always bears witness to the written Word and the Word Jesus. So your life no longer begins to conform to the culture or orthodox faith, your life now conforms to the Word of God. The Spirit leads you to the Word. So the difference is, people are born of religion, and they defend their religion. When you're born of the Spirit of God, His Spirit's inside you, you defend and live the Word of God. You understand the Word of God. And you no longer make excuses for sin, your own sin, the world's sin, the culture's sin, man-made religion. So to answer your question,
I've never done that.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying. Yeah. So to answer your question, a new birth is when you can look back. It's not a minute or a day. It's when you can look back at your life and go, I used to look at the world this way. I used to use my own understanding. The Bible says the cross is foolishness to the world. When God transformed my heart and my mind, when I repented and sought Him, lights went on, and I see things different now. I see my sin I never saw before. I read the Word. I've read this verse 50 times. It's alive to me now. I see it. I feel it. I understand it. I live it. I walk in it. I see how the world now rejects the Spirit and the truth of God's Word. They embrace religion. The Orthodox faith is loved by the world. Catholics are loved by the world. True Christians, I'm hated. Because I preach what I'm preaching to you. Repentance. Lay down your life. Lay down this religion. Throw it all. Apostle Paul said this about being born again. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the what some people say he was going to become the high priest. He says in Philippians, it all is dung. Horse manure. Dog manure. Dung. Compared to knowing Jesus Christ. So all of your Orthodox faith will become dung to you. When you really come to know Jesus in your heart and your mind through this new creation.
When you say all of the Orthodox faith, I feel like you haven't read everything of the Orthodox faith.
It doesn't matter. So, we don't follow Orthodox, we follow Jesus.
Right, and then when you say, so you're saying that Orthodox don't follow Jesus?
They follow a different Jesus and a different gospel. Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians 11.
And like how different?
Well, again, if you want to sit down, we can go over all their doctrines. Christmas and Easter is a different doctrine. The priest in a box giving the authority to forgive your sins is a different Jesus.
No, priests cannot forgive our sins in Orthodox. You're talking about Catholicism.
I've talked to different Orthodox. There's different Orthodox.
Right, but priests cannot forgive your sins.
But that whole system...
There's no such thing in Orthodox.
That whole system, here you go, allowing you to live in and be like the world and not teaching you... hold on. You asked me. Not teaching you how to cover your temple, how to walk through this world, how to be separate from the world, how to preach Jesus and not the Orthodox faith. See, I've met Orthodox people. You know what they do? They don't preach Jesus to me. You know what they do? They invite me to church. Right. That's not how we evangelize.
So you said you met Orthodox people, but you've never actually looked into Orthodoxy.
Oh, yeah. I've looked into all different flavors. The Eastern Orthodox is not biblical for many reasons.
Right, so what, like...
I gave you a bunch.
You gave me the details. You're ignoring them.
I'm giving you the ones that are sin, and you're ignoring them, saying, okay.
Right. So you think...
One sin puts you out of heaven.
Let's say that's
You understand
true.
That?
Let's just say that's true.
In Acts 5, God killed a couple over one lie.
Let me ask you a question then. So you think that once you completely depart from any denomination, let's say you have no denomination, your denomination
is
the Bible. Okay, well, let me finish. You have no denomination. This is a question. I'm leading to the question.
Yeah,
so I just want to make it as clear as possible so I can get a better answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you depart from all of the... However you want it, whatever terminology you want to use. You depart from it. You're no longer there. Like, you're no longer a part of a church.
You leave them.
You actually make your own church, right? So
No. Well, hold on. Let me stop you. No, okay.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that so I don't have to be stopped. Because I'm losing my train of thought. And this will never go anywhere. So, however you want to put it, you have no church. You're absolutely free to do whatever.
Christ is our body.
Christ, however you want to do this, however you want to word it. I really don't care about the wording right now because that's going to get us nowhere. So, however you want to word it, you abandon all religion.
Yeah.
So, you make a clear separation between religion and faith or spirituality because these are all words, right? And they're all, by the way, maybe some Greek or who knows, maybe Persian origin. So, anyway, you abandon all churches, all religion, and you go to spirituality. Now, at that point of time...
Following Jesus.
Following Jesus. Okay.
Spirituality can be New Age.
Okay, following Jesus.
You got to get our terms right, Anton.
Okay. Right. So yeah. I don't know what terms you use. Different people use different terminology.
Well, I've been telling you, I follow Jesus.
Right, right. Okay. So, I mean, you could call that spirituality, right? Because you're...
It's not.
Obviously, it's metaphysical. You're following something metaphysical.
Yeah.
You apparently, you know, you can't really touch
yeah.
Jesus. You
can't it is spiritual. Him, you know? You're right. So it's spiritual.
So whatever the terminology you want to use, you follow Jesus, and you abandon all other religions. From that point on, you're born again, like you said.
Yes, sir.
And then from that point on, you become perfectly sinless?
No. No, I don't teach sinless perfection. No. What I teach is you no longer live in sin. So we were drunks. We repented of that. Many drunks, when they repent, they fall back into it. They get drunk again. They have to repent of that again, throw their alcohol out again, and keep striving. So I don't teach that you become sinless. What I teach is you, Paul says, we have a wicked flesh. Our flesh always causes us to sin. What's the answer? Well, the evangelicals and many Catholics, and I've met Orthodox, that'll say, you're going to sin all the time. You're going to sin. You're going to sin. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We sin all the time. The Bible teaches in Galatians 5 and in Romans 8, here's the recipe to not sin all the time. Ready? To not sin all the time. Don't live in your flesh. You live in the Spirit. Now, I still have moments where I get angry. Sometimes men get in my wife's face when I'm street preaching, and they scream at her while she's being quiet. Do you don't think that riles up my flesh?
Oh,
I'm an old fighter. I want to go knock him out. You know what I say? Lord, I repent of that. He's no better than I am. I'm no better than he is. I go and I get between them and my wife, and I say, sir, stand down. So the secret is you walk in the Spirit, born again, following the Word of God. And the Bible teaches that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So I don't teach sinless perfection, but I also teach that if you've got a sin level of 10 today, you're sinning all the time, if you repent and you're born of God and you strive hard, you could bring your sin level down to 1 or 2, to where you, instead of choosing it, willfully doing it, you may slip into it. Your flesh rises up, an old memory from the past comes in your head, and you go, whoa, where did that come from? I got to repent of that, Lord. And you think of things above, Colossians 3:2, and you focus on things above. So religion gives you a reason and excuse to keep sinning, because you got to go back there and you need them. Jesus said, no, come follow me. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. He will cleanse us when we confess our sins and leave them and strive. And he says, strive to enter through the straight way. And this life of following Jesus is a striving to follow him. Religion, Lutheran, Evangelical, Orthodox, they believe in Jesus. The problem is they're not following him biblically, through his word, through his ordinances, through his ways, through his commands.
And how did you come to that conclusion?
How did I come to what conclusion?
To what you just said, that they're not...
Well, we both came out of the religious world. We know what the religious world is when we sat...
But there are 3,000 different denominations.
But you sat down, you asked me a question. Yeah. We sat down, we began to test to the Word of God. And one of the few key things were we looked at the gospel they preach. How do you find eternal life according to Jesus and Paul and Peter?
Right.
They don't teach the biblical gospel that I preach to you.
Right.
Repentance coming out of... So that was one. We looked at the holy days they celebrate. God never ordained that. That was one. We looked at their leadership. Their leadership is not built on God's ways. That was one. We looked at the fruit, right? If I'm a tree, you should look at my fruit. Look at my home. You notice how quiet my wife is.
Right.
Not interjecting one bit. Why do you think that is? She knows the Bible teaches when men reason in the word, I think the Orthodox believe this, the women are to be quiet.
No, we don't.
Okay,
no, we don't.
So that's another sin, because the Bible teaches that. 1 Corinthians 14 says when the body comes together, and if we're believers, the women are to be quiet, the men reason. Men have the authority in the body of Christ. My wife witnesses to women. She hands out the gospel.
And
she's my helper. She's a worker. She does mighty things for God, but it's not reasoning and rebuking men.
That's deeply ingrained into the Orthodox Church.
Well, that's feminization, and God's word teaches against it, so that's another sin we see. So we test
it. Yeah, but you just said it. What you just said is ingrained into the Orthodox Church.
What's ingrained?
Well, that when men reason, you know, women should not.
Well, that may be ingrained because they got that right from God's Word, because that's what God's Word teaches. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, and in Titus 1, in 1 Corinthians 14, women are not to have authority. Women are not to teach men. Women are to ask their husbands at home for a question. Women are to be silent when men gather. So you ask the question. We tested everything to God's word. The Bible says, test everything. I expect you to go to the Bible, test every word I'm telling you. And what you'll find is that the systems that man has propped up are not of God. They have sprinklings of God, some truth. You know, that's how Satan deceives. He puts truth in, then dissuades you with a bunch of lies and error. That's how he deceives you. Satan is an angel of light. He's not a guy red with horns. He's a beautiful angel that deceives. The Orthodox faith, I believe, is a beautiful angel type that deceives. The Roman Catholic Church is a beautiful angel type that deceives with its beautiful cathedrals. You know, I worked with a Roman Catholic, and I asked him one time, Anton. I said, and I asked an Orthodox guy this one time, and he told me the same thing. This Roman Catholic guy said to me this. I said, what is it about the Catholic faith that draws you? He told me two things. Had nothing to do with the truth of God. Had nothing to do with Jesus.
Are you talking about a single man now again?
No.
Yeah, isolated action. Okay. This is argument. This is
but
exactly
wait, I'm
the,
just going to give you
an
example.
This is arguments from identity, and you can't
I'm
do
I'm
going to
give you an example. He said, I grew up in it, so it's my family tradition. So right there we see, we don't follow traditions. We follow God's word. And he said, when I walk into the cathedral and I see all the carvings and I see all the icons, okay. I'm drawn to God. That's not how we're drawn to God.
Let me tell you something that will help you. If you want to proliferate what you're doing, do not argue from identity from one single person. You drew an entire picture from one person, right?
No. But wait. That identity from one person can be backed up. Many people follow the faith.
It could be.
They're born into it. Were you born in the Orthodox faith?
I was.
There you go. You're part of it.
Do you
honor those big cathedrals, wasting all that money?
I don't honor anything.
But if you go in it and partake of it, you're honoring and you're uniting to it. You're another man in that identity then.
Those buildings were already built. What should we do? Destroy
Abandon them because God doesn't want them. He doesn't live in temples of stone anymore.
Right. So there will be a lot of... I think you're kind of putting out simple solutions to very complex problems.
Oh, no. No, the Bible...
Okay, right.
It's very simple. The Bible says, repent, rip those things out, and follow Jesus.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this.
You must be born again. Seek it. I can't explain it perfectly.
No,
the Spirit of God will explain it perfectly when
it
happens to you.
You did, but you're too adamant. You're too...
zealous?
No.
Bible tells me to be zealous for good works.
You're too fixed on attacking other denominations.
Well, I can't help you closer to God until I show you your sin, because your sin is separating you from God. So I show you your sin so that you can come closer to God and repent.
I would say if you really want to draw somebody, this is the thing. So if you will draw somebody to something by the way you do it. You know, you're not going to draw some... You know, it's kind of like when the Catholics drew the Indians to Christianity, they did it by force. You know, so...
Am I forcing you?
No, you're not forcing anyone.
Okay.
But I think that maybe you... And this is just my advice to you. It's not...
This is an opinion or is this from God's Word?
You can't tell. I'll let you decide, okay? Because I'm not telling you what
to do.
So
it's probably your opinion if you're not basing it on God's Word.
I'll let you decide.
Okay.
Okay, so since you think that you might be able to decipher God's world more correctly than I can, just listen to what I have to say, and then think of it, whether it's right or whether it's wrong.
I'll test it to the Word.
Okay, right. Because when you, first of all, when you attack somebody, when you tried to find...
Did I attack you?
No. You're doing a religious...
You're ad hominem, though. You're telling me I'm doing things, and when I ask you, you say, no, you didn't do that.
No, I never mentioned
I'm attacking
anything.
You said you didn't do that.
No. Ad hominem is if I said that you're...
But you're adding you're adding something in, changing the discussion. I didn't attack anybody. I did attack man-made religion. I'll do that every day of the week.
Let me just tell you, again, you're confusing terminology. Ad hominem is when I attack your personality, not what you said.
But you're saying that does attack me because you said when you attack. And then I asked you, where did I attack?
No. Okay, so not attack. Okay.
You said, when I attack.
Okay, maybe I used the wrong word.
Thank you.
But that is not ad hominem.
That is. What it is that's putting a label on me, leaving the topic and saying, you know what? A lady downtown just told me I'm hateful. That's ad hominem because I wasn't hateful. I was preaching the Word of God.
Right, but I didn't say you were hateful.
You told me I attacked.
Okay, you cannot... You're clinging to words.
Words matter. Every word, you're going to be judged by every word out of the mouth of God.
Right, but you said
out of your mouth by God.
It's a non-spiritual word, so the word doesn't matter. You said that
we're
earlier.
Talking about spiritual things, and you're telling me I'm attacking. I didn't attack you. I'm sharing love, truth with you. You came up to me.
Okay, so when you come off aggressive like this towards somebody... by the way, you didn't even let me finish the sentence. So, you took the word attack out of context. You did attack my denomination.
Yes, I attack man-made religion.
Okay, so
yes,
that was my sentence.
You're with them.
You stopped me at attack.
You're admitting you're with them because I attacked them and you took it personal.
You, I didn't take it personal. I'm just giving you an advice. Whether you want to take it or not, it's
did human. Jesus attack the Pharisees?
He did. So okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank then, you. Well, then don't tell me you're not attacking something.
I said I attack man-made religion. Yes, I do.
Right, you didn't let me finish the sentence, and you're still not letting me finish.
I'm correcting you as you go.
You're not correcting me. You stopped me in the middle of my sentence, yeah. And you said I'm not attacking, and I didn't even get to the religion part. But anyway, so let me just give you this, and take it to heart or don't take it. When you come off strong, so we're not going to use that word.
Thank
attack,
you. Very good. Much better.
Strong. Well, whatever. So when you come off so strong, and when you, I'm going to use that word, when you attack somebody's personal beliefs,
yes.
You know, when you say something like somebody's been raised in that church for a long, you have to be very careful because these beliefs are as personal as a man thinks his wife is beautiful and his children are intelligent.
Sure.
Right. So when you do
that. That's why
that,
I go right after him.
Right, so it's like telling somebody your wife is ugly and your children are stupid. You know, so when you do that, you have a very high percentage of that person never listening to you again.
High now, percentage never listen to me. You know, the only people that listen are the ones drawn by God's Spirit.
My advice is...
Drawn by God's Spirit.
My advice is, if you want to have success with this... Now, like I said, take it or leave it. I'm not trying to convince you of anything.
Yeah.
If you want to have a success of proliferating what you do, because...
I don't.
There's a lot of truth in it.
I don't.
Yeah, well, but there's a lot of truth in it. And people
I'm not seeking success.
It's not earthly success. Success for God.
What do you think I'm seeking?
Salvation.
To obey God.
Right. So if you...
I don't care if nobody listens.
Okay, so... Right. Okay.
Should I change my methods to please man?
No, not to please man. To draw him to salvation. That is success.
By preaching the gospel.
Right.
Repent! Kingdom of God.
Obviously, I have to make myself repeatedly clear. If you want to be successful at saving souls, which is obviously what you're trying to do...
I don't save anyone's soul. God does.
God does. Oh, but you're the instrument...
The Spirit
draws
them.
But you're the instrument of his love.
The Spirit draws them.
Right. Because a knife doesn't cut. A man cuts with the knife.
Right.
You know,
the Word of God, Hebrews 4, is a sword that cuts.
So maybe God is the knife, but you're the one that... Or you're the knife.
I wield the sword. The Word of God.
You want to do
the Word of God.
However you want to do this. Because you pretty much... I mean... to me, you have to have some kind of purpose in this life, you know? And if you don't have a purpose, if you don't live with a purpose, if you're just kind of like out there wandering, like I said, just kind of fucking wandering and doing nothing, you know? It's like whatever the wind blows you, you know?
Did they teach you how to talk like that in the Orthodox
faith?
Oh,
no. These are my thoughts. So you...
That's
nobody taught me anything. By the way, I taught everything myself. 6 years, I was in complete doubt. Of God himself, of the church itself, of people themselves.
Out of our heart, our mouth speaks, right?
But,
is that true?
Let me tell you something.
Is that true? Out of our heart, our mouth speaks.
So, you know what I realized in those 6 years? That if I was to say, he is bad, he is sinful, he is good, he is this, he belongs to that, he belongs to that. That means I am all of this. Either I am or I have the potential to be. Because you know why? We're all humans, we all have hearts, and we cannot evade those things. You cannot evade them.
If we're born again, we walk in the Spirit, it'll help clean up your sin and your mouth.
Right.
It'll clean your heart up first. I used to talk like that. It'll clean your heart up first, okay? That's a sign of a corrupt tree, and I love you enough. And here's the thing that's very important. When I go to preach, I don't go to please men. I go to please God. I do go after man-made false religion. And here's what will happen, Anton. Good or bad, you will not forget this confrontation. You will not forget this confrontation. And if you're of God, God will use it to say, I do need to go deeper.
So,
I am a sinful, corrupt tree. God can give me a new heart, new mind, and a new mouth.
Right. But
you'll remember
this. I've said that many times.
That's loving.
All right.
This is loving.
It is.
To call you from your sin and point you out of your false religion.
Okay, right.
You're still here after 30 minutes.
I am because of my own terms.
And I'm still here because I love you.
No, right. I mean, and I don't hate you, you know? So obviously, if I'm still here, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't say I love anyone.
Love comes from God, you know? God is love. He gives us a love for people.
I don't know how...
That's a sign that your heart has been transformed. That's what you need.
So love is...
Religion won't get you to that new heart.
But love is not just a feeling. Love manifests itself.
Yeah. Love, we keep God's commandments and we love each other.
Right.
That's love.
Love is more of an action than a word. You can't just be saying these
And this
things,
is loving, telling you the truth.
Right. Yeah. So I've received love from people who I never knew and helped me, you know, they helped me along the way.
Yeah.
And I never questioned their religion, because at the moment, the very
But if they
moment,
didn't tell you that you must be born again or you'll go to hell, they didn't really love your soul. They just loved your situation. They got you gas and got you on the road, but if they were Christians and they didn't tell you about Jesus and you must be born again and you die and go to hell, they didn't really love you.
I think I'd rather be loved by a person like that than by words.
Well, then you may not be listening. You may not be one that will be called of God's Spirit.
I think one day, because nature itself has... nature in itself is a catastrophe. And the older we get, the more we experience.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. God created the earth. It's good. Sin has corrupted it.
At some point of time, I'm pretty sure you've run into difficult situations where you needed other people's help.
Yep.
Right? And after they helped you, I think the last thing they wanted to hear is, you didn't help me because you love me. It's because you love my situation. You know,
we help the situation, but we love the deeper inner man, the spiritual man. If I feed a homeless guy a sandwich and say, you're good to go, and I leave him in his sin and he goes to hell, and I didn't give him this great hope of this gospel, did I really love him in a godly way?
I think you have a point there.
You didn't love him in a godly way.
Right, but what if you don't know any better? What if a Buddhist...
Well, if you're not born again, how can you preach Christ? You can't.
Well, what if a Buddhist helps you? You don't think that God...
Buddhists don't have the key to eternal life. That's a New Age demonic religion.
They'll beg to defer.
Oh, no, they don't. They deny who Jesus is.
See, they want the key to stop eternal life.
They deny who Jesus is, so they make him a liar.
Probably, yeah.
Sure they do. No, so no. They're false. They're antichrist. Right. Well, Buddhists are antichrist. Hindus are antichrist.
Right.
So I must call that out.
So, okay.
Why do you think Jesus and all the disciples were killed?
Well, there was Thomas that got killed.
Why were they all killed? Other than John, who was allowed to die in a prison. Why were they all killed for their faith? You think because they were man pleasers?
Well, they weren't.
Did they tell the truth?
I'm saying is if they somehow... Okay, so I'm not saying that what you do is wrong. I'm questioning your approach.
I use the Bible approach. I preach the gospel. I call men out of sin.
You use the man's approach.
No. I preach the gospel to you. I call men out of sin. And when they tell me they're linked to man-made religion, I tell them they have to repent of that or they're going to be judged by a holy God. That's what Jesus did to the Pharisees.
Okay.
That's what Paul did to the Pharisees.
He did many other things too. When he attached the ear to the Roman soldier's head when he came to persecute him. So it's not... He was kind to pagans, and you know it's.
You're not a pagan. You're claiming to be a Christian.
Right, but according to your view.
So if you were a pagan, I would preach the gospel to you, and I wouldn't cut down the church, American church. You're lifting up the American or Orthodox church, and I'm telling you it's not of God.
So I've never said anything about the Orthodox. All I've done is.
Well, you defended it. You've stood here and defended it for 30 minutes.
Because it was attacked.
Yeah, because you're part of it. You're united to it.
Right. So if you
and they have done you no good to become more godly.
If somebody starts banging on your van,
you'll die in sin in the Orthodox faith.
You do have a temple. You realize this is a temple.
This is not a temple. This is my temple.
Right.
This is a shelter.
Right.
That keeps me from rain. You could light it on fire right now, and if I could get my wife out of it,
right. Well, you can light the church on fire if I can get all the 100.
It is my hope and prayer that all of the man-made religions are torn down. So, you know, when Jesus comes back, he's destroying everything that's not his, including the Eastern Orthodox faith.
Okay,
he's destroying it.
I would say that there is no such thing as a spiritual shelter, too. Because a lot
there's
of
no such thing.
There is a such thing.
Yeah, and that's Jesus Christ. He's our ark.
All right.
Not the Orthodox faith, not the Roman Catholic faith.
Right.
He's our ark.
I think that man, I mean, if that was the case, we'd be completely isolated. There would be no one on this earth trying to mingle and have conversations. We wouldn't even have a language. You know, we wouldn't have...
God scattered us so we wouldn't have that kind of unity, you know.
Well
we're going back to that.
End of times. We wouldn't have any of this, right? We would be just completely segregated. Somehow, he put us on this earth to manage to coexist, right? And so
To follow and obey him is the goal.
Right, but
and sin is to not follow and obey him, right, which is man-made religion.
If that was the case, we wouldn't have free will. If it was just
you do have free will,
right?
Yep.
And so you could choose to follow, whether you want to follow or whether you don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has a problem, but because if he did, he wouldn't have made us with a free will.
Oh, you will be judged on Judgment Day for leaving his ways. Yes.
You will be
so judged. You have grace right now to do anything you want, but Judgment Day is coming. That's why I go and preach.
Of course. But you have the free will.
You do.
So you have the will to have an approach to everything.
Yes.
And whether that approach works or it doesn't, I don't think one day God's going to tell you, hey, man, you know what? You're not going to heaven because you entered that building or you belong to that building.
He's going to say, did you know my son? Were you born of his spirit? And if you are born of his spirit, you will leave all false ways.
Right. So,
and you're not doing that today.
I don't think, you know,
because you're not born of God.
Okay. So let me tell you throughout this.
You would admit that. No, okay. You're not born again. You would admit that.
What?
You're not born again.
I'm not a born again Christian.
Right. Okay. So you're not born of God, but you need to be in order to enter the kingdom of God.
Let me tell you, I've never been an alcoholic. I've never been a drug addict.
One lie will send you to hell.
Well, I've never been an alcoholic.
One lie will send you to hell.
I have never been an alcoholic. Three times. Three lies. Then there you go. I've never been an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I've never been a drug addict.
What does this mean? Are you saying you don't have sin?
I'm not saying I don't have sin.
Okay.
But I've...
Are you saying you're a good person?
I'm not saying I'm a good person. Let me finish. Okay. So, I don't know. I think these are these are the prerequisites of being a born-again Christian. So, that's what I'm saying. I've never been a drug addict.
No.
I've never been
You just did what you told me I did. You judged by the Word of God what's a born-again Christian. That's what American Church says. Don't be a drunk. Don't be a drug addict and you're okay. You're a born-again Christian. The Word of God says, walk in holiness and purity. Don't lie. Don't lust. Don't have coarse jesting. Don't show your body off. Cover it up. The Bible teaches us how to live and follow Christ.
So yeah.
So don't judge by American churchianity. Go to the Word of God, Anti. You just did.
Yeah. No.
You said it seems like that's what it means to be born again. That's the American church.
But that's what I've been hearing the
whole
time. But
you're not hearing from the Word of God.
If somebody's born again Christians, they've been in that's deep shit in their life.
American Christians that say they're born again are not biblical Christians. That's what I stand against. That's why I'm hated.
Right. What I've been hearing is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm not judging anything.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I've been hearing.
They use man-made philosophy.
This is what I've been hearing from men.
Yeah.
Where am I going to hear it from? Yeah. You know, the sky or something?
Get your truth from the Word of God.
Right. But what I've been hearing from the born-agains is that they've been into some deep, deep shit in their life before they became born again.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was it.
No.
And every single
That's a lie.
That's every single testimony.
That's a lie. Worldliness. The Bible says if you're a friend of the world, if you like football, sports, politics, entertainment, you're a friend of the world. You know what the Bible says, Anton? You're an enemy of God. James 4:4.
So, I mean, you cannot be completely none of the world, you know?
Yes, we can.
We can.
And walk in holiness? Why can't we?
We drive these machines.
This is not sin.
I mean...
This is not sin.
How is it not sin? We're destroying the environment for future generations. You're killing off people indirectly, you know? I mean, my V8 engine is throwing more...
Oh, now you're getting to that whole Green Earth movement. A whole nother topic. God has created a system to refine everything. The point is, the Bible says that we can be in the world, not of it. We can walk in holiness. I go into Walmart to buy food. I don't look at their nasty magazines. I'm not united to them. I do just what I must do. I don't go to the entertainment places but to preach. I'm not involved in politics. I don't dress like the culture. I don't act like the culture.
Yeah,
I don't
like
live like the culture.
Yeah.
So don't say I can't be not of the world, because I can.
No,
Jesus said his sheep are
not of
the world.
You cannot be of the world. You cannot be completely of the world.
We can't leave the world.
Right.
That's biblical. We can't leave the world.
But
we don't have to be of it.
But I think people say kind of things like that. They glorify themselves a little bit. I don't want to do that. I think that is a dangerous path to walk on.
Well,
to
I
say
boast
not of the world.
I boast a lot in Christ. Christ called us out of the world. Christ keeps us separate from the world. Christ gives me my truth. So the boasting I do is in Christ, because if it wasn't for Christ,
right,
I could have cared less about you. I would be out living my own life, probably be a dead religious guy.
I boast in Jesus.
It's all about Jesus and new life in him.
I appreciate your time and I appreciate you. And
I love you. That's why I give you this. See, one thing you learn about my ministry, unlike the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholics, I don't want anybody's money. I don't take any money. I support myself.
Right.
My time to you is free. My website is free. You call me. We'll talk about anything as long as you want, as long as you're not a mocker, and you're not.
And we should.
And you're not.
And we should.
And I love you. And Jesus said this will be the sign.
You know what?
Love.
You know what? We should, I'll there's a message or something I can send you?
You go to my website. Okay. There's an email address, okay. don'tperishatoutlook.com. Okay. And okay. then you can get, I'll give you my phone number. You can text me.
No.
Encouragement, whatever.
You travel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So, full time.
Okay. So, like, where are you? Like, for example, like, I mean, do you have a specific itinerary? Or?
No.
You don't?
No, I try to be spirit-led. We have another event we're getting to, we're headed to Billings. We're going to go downtown and preach for a while. Then we're heading to Billings, and then okay. from there, we're a couple other events we're looking at. But I try to be spirit-led, so I have appointments like this. I meet you.
Okay, so I will not step defending something that is personal. You have to understand that. That's something that people do, and it's normal. And unless you're really, really knowledgeable about it, do not expect to have much success against it, or unless that person has some doubts about it.
See, I don't look for success. What I do is I preach the gospel, preach the word of God, and the Spirit moves and acts. And if you're drawn to God and you'll yield, the Spirit will show you that everything I've said is not my truth. It's true in the word of God, and then it will begin to grow in you. And maybe, how old are you?
43.
Okay, I'm older than you. I'm 58. Maybe when you're my age, you'll remember the crazy bearded guy in the parking lot, and he told me a lot of stuff, and I wasn't ready for it then, but the seeds of God's word. See, you can't get to man by man. The only way you get to man is through the Spirit and the word of God.
So, the point I was trying to make is that when you do such things, you're becoming very presumptuous about the person himself. So,
did I not judge you rightly that you're a religious guy that is not transformed by the word of God?
You misinterpreted me completely.
Really? I heard vulgar words come out of your mouth several times. So your heart's unregenerated, you admitted. You go to a false man-made religious system, and I'm preaching the truth to help you out of that. So how did I judge wrongly?
And that is the way. You know how you judge wrongly? Hmm. It's because you have these preconceptions.
But they were true.
How do you know that they're true?
I listened. I listened to you and saw that they were true.
How far do you think you can investigate into the human heart?
I don't know your heart, but I know your lips. And Jesus said, out of your heart, your lips speak.
So that's a very legalistic way of approaching.
That's what Jesus said. Is Jesus legalistic?
No.
That's your fruit is a tree, end time.
You know what Jesus said on the cross? Love God and love each other.
Right. So I've been loving you by telling you the truth.
Two commandments.
I live for God.
Judge the other person by the words of
we're supposed
mouth.
To judge each other. 1 Corinthians 5 says judge the body. Matthew 18 says judge the body. 1 Timothy 5 says publicly rebuke those in sin.
Right.
We're to judge the body.
Right.
That's how you'll get right with God is by judging.
Jesus didn't say that. Jesus' commandments were...
So you only live by Jesus' words, not by Paul's. Jesus did say in Matthew 18, if you're my brother and you're in sin, I'm supposed to go to you alone. If you won't repent and stop, I take brothers. If you won't stop, we take you before other brothers.
No.
If you won't stop, Jesus says put you out like a publican.
Okay. Of course. And I, you know,
that's Jesus' words.
I met a lot of people that make the same cardinal blunder. They take the Bible word by word. And that
Jesus
is
said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4.
Word by word. Meaning that there is no room for speculation, no room for reasoning.
You know, I've been reasoning with you for 40 minutes.
You're not reasoning with yourself. You can reason with me all your life, and I still won't bend to your will. You have to reason with yourself.
God's Spirit is the only one that will get you to bend your will. And I've preached the truth to you. And what I saw in you,
now when you,
you come defending Eastern Orthodox, and what I see the fruit of your tree, and I hear the fruit of your lips, I'm not judging you as to hell.
You just passed
judgment. Hold on. I'm not judging you to hell. I'm making a judgment that your life is outside of the holiness and truth of God, and you need to repent and seek Him, not religion, not your own intellect. And I love you enough to tell you that truth. You must repent, or you're going to face the judgment of God. I used to be just like you.
So
I'm not better than you. I'm different. I'm born of God.
Everybody's different, yeah.
I'm born of God. You need that.
When you pass that kind of judgment, you're automatically something that you believe is better now than what that...
Oh, Jesus is much better than the Eastern Orthodox faith.
Right.
My Savior is so much better than man-made religion.
So, and then now you're saying... Now, what you're saying with this is that the Eastern... Everybody who subscribes to the Eastern religion... is much worse
than is living in sin, so, and will be separated from
a
holy God.
Deteriorated a whole group of people.
Absolutely. The Roman Catholics are heretics. Eastern Orthodox are heretics. Muslims are heretics. Evangelicals are heretics.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So, if you have no success, I mean, if
you're going back to success.
Okay.
God.
I didn't even finish the sentence, and you're cutting me off. So, and there's...
You're putting really, things on me that I won't take.
No, it's really difficult to communicate with someone that won't even let you finish their sentence, and that becomes even more difficult to explain yourself, you know? So what I'm saying is that... I lose my train of thought because of these interruptions, but if you want to win somebody over to what you believe, and now you must have a mission of some kind, because if you're preaching, you have a goal. You know, if you don't
preach
have
the gospel.
A goal, right? If you don't have a goal,
God changes hearts and minds.
If you don't have a goal, obviously, God to for you are preaching the gospel. If God changes someone's mind, then your preaching is completely useless.
No, it's not. Paul says they have to have a preacher to hear.
Okay.
Romans 10:14.
Thank you. It's not useless. Then your preaching, if it's not useless, it must be beneficial. If it's beneficial, it must have a goal.
Yes.
So if you have the goal,
yes,
and you want to help somebody out like that,
yes,
you have to have an approach of how to achieve that goal.
And I follow God's approach, not man's.
Right.
Which is to call you out of your sin.
Right.
You claim Christ.
Are a man, so you follow men's approach.
No.
You are not God himself.
No, I'm not God. I follow God's approach, which is to preach the gospel,
right,
call you out of your sin. I want you to walk away from this encounter feeling like you're in danger of the wrath of God, and you need to turn from
it. I understand it.
Because I love you.
So I understand that. So you think you follow God's approach, but then again, you
attest it to the word.
Because I don't like this, because I've heard it. I mean, I think your intentions are pure, and I think you're a great person. I genuinely think you are. I'm not buttering you up here. I genuinely think you are, and I wouldn't say that unless I read your stuff. You know, okay. So anyone who has a spark of Jesus in them is a good man to me. But I think that God has given us many instruments, not just the Bible. We have a mind. We have a heart. And if you don't use these things, if you just use word by word by word by word, you are in a real risk of becoming a legalistic person.
It's not legalism to follow every word of the mouth of God. Jesus did it. He challenged us to do it. And
I
tell you what, I'm going to go with my Lord and Savior, Master of the Universe, over a man.
I didn't say it's a legalism.
I'm going to go with his word over a man.
I didn't say it's a legalism. How do you know?
You just said it's legalism.
I didn't. No. Didn't hear what I said. I didn't, and I did. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm going to repeat my exact sentence of the way I said it. You're at risk of falling into
earlier you
legalism.
Called it legalism as well. You didn't say at risk earlier.
Three times my sentence.
Earlier you didn't say at risk.
I did.
You said that's legalism.
I didn't say that. I didn't. Okay. Early.
It's not legalism.
My last
Anton, it's not legalism to live by God's word.
I can remember exactly what
it's
I said.
It's not legalism to live by God's word, sir. Legalism is adding.
Okay.
Can I give you my definition?
Four times. I'm going
to say legalism is adding to God's word. That's what the Eastern Orthodox have done. You're in a legalistic system.
I
preach the pure word of God.
Right. So did the Pharisee, right?
Nope. Yeah, Pharisees added to the word of God.
The Jewish preached the word of God. Word by word by
the Pharisees added to the word of God. Jesus says, for the washing, you've added of pots and cups, you worship me in vain.
The Jewish preached the word of God word by word. So do the Muslims preach the word of God word by word. Everyone who preaches
That's totally wrong. They teach the Quran, which is not the word of God. Allah is Satan. Allah is Satan.
Okay.
That's a whole other topic.
Whoever he is, that's their methodology. And you're adhering to the same methodology.
I'm adhering to the word of God, which is the true word of God that Jesus said was the word of God. I live and die by that word of God.
I'm not talking about the authority of God. I'm talking about your methodology. I never said anything about the word of God.
Preaching the gospel and calling men out of their sin is the word of God.
I said that you're following the methodology of a legalist, which are the Jews and the Muslims.
Nope. I don't add to God's word. I tell you just what it says. You must repent or you're going to perish.
Well, they don't. You must
be born again and leave that.
The word of God is written in a book.
You must be.
And
you don't believe. You don't believe Genesis to Revelation is the revealed, inspired word of God to us today?
Well, I do. But when you go and do something according to one sentence. One sentence, like that church where they took one sentence. If you believe in God, you'll be able to handle snakes.
Yeah.
How do I prove that wrong? Right.
By the rest of the Word of God.
No.
You don't use. That's called proof texting. You don't take one verse. Do you follow one man-made law? No, you follow them all.
There are a lot of verses that contradict
you. You don't do that? No, they don't. Like what? Name one.
I
to say that in authority, now I'm going to challenge you. What verse contradicts each other? You said something, I'm going to ask you to back up.
Okay, I could be wrong. Okay, I'm going to back off that one. Okay, I could be wrong about that one.
I appreciate
We're not going to go into that. But
God's word doesn't contradict itself.
But right. Okay, so, but do you think that the Bible has absolutely everything in it?
Everything we need for the spiritual life and eternal life and to glorify God? Absolutely.
Okay, I agree with that, for the spiritual life. Mm-hmm. What if you encounter situations like, for example...
And then we use discernment for everything else.
Okay, thank you. Oh, we're getting somewhere. Discernment. discernment comes from, you know, being a sensible human being. You know, logic, that's a discernment. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, you can have physical discernment, you can have spiritual discernment. Right. The discernment I speak of is spiritual.
Okay, so what's born of God. What's a spiritual discernment? What's the difference between
Because the physical man thinks of what's good for the physical nature, what's good for his own being, what's good in this culture. The spiritual man says what's good and pleasing to God, and how must I carry myself according to that?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. And then.